Good morning. Delightful to see everybody this morning, all who have come out to worship our God. Thankful for this opportunity and for your presence here as we honor our God together and adore Him in worship. A few Sundays ago, we studied the importance of pursuing holiness. The pursuit of holiness prepares us for eternal fellowship with God. Can't be in fellowship with God without holiness. So He sent His Son to die for us to make us holy, and then He expects us to pursue holiness in our conduct. The last song that we sang had to do with being holy, taking time to be holy. The last line of that song talks about how that fits us for service above. So the lesson this morning is kind of connected to that lesson that we had 3 weeks ago, where we talked about pursuing holiness and striving to be holy. But it takes it maybe to the next step. We want to be holy not only because we want fellowship with God now and in eternity, but because we want to be His servants in eternity. When we are in heaven, there is more to the fellowship that we'll have with God than praise and adoration. I think sometimes when we think about heaven, we get only the concepts that God is there, we'll be there with Him, we'll live forever, and everybody's going to be praising and magnifying God. All of that is true, but that's not all there is to it. I believe the Bible gives us another component, something else to look forward to. Maybe that we don't fully understand or appreciate now, but I think it will be one of the things we appreciate the most once we're in the presence of God, and that is that we'll have the opportunity in the world to come to serve our God. So in this lesson, the point of holiness is expanded beyond just eternal existence in the presence of God. I said just eternal existence in the presence of God as if that was a small thing. It's not a small thing. That's a huge thing. But holiness and the meaning of it and the significance of it expands beyond that to enabling us to become qualified to serve our God in that heavenly realm. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3, John, who is seeing into heaven itself, into the throne room of God, he says that there will be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb of God shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no lamp of the light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So there are two things that are action things that we do in heaven in this passage. One is that we serve, and the other is that we reign. And my friend Jeff May has noted that the service comes before the reigning. And that probably is significant as well. But that we serve God in that heavenly realm. And so, in this life that we're now living, we are being prepared for service in that life that we shall live. And I don't think there's any truer line in any of the songs that we sing than that last one of that last song. We shall be fitted for service above. Soon fitted for service above. So let's think this morning about being fitted for service above. How does this life prepare us for that life? And exactly how is that true? We are, as I said, being prepared for service because we're learning to be Christ-like. If this life involves becoming Christ-like in preparation for eternity, then it involves us becoming servants because Jesus came as a servant. To be Christ-like is to be a servant. Mark 10 and verse 45, Jesus says, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." Jesus came to serve. There's no doubt about that. As I think Lorenzo was expressing even at the Lord's table this morning, he came to do something for us that we were completely and wholly undeserving of. Served us in a way that we could not have served ourselves. came to do that for us. But not only did he come to earth to serve us, he went back to heaven to serve us. Do we realize that? He went back to heaven as our high priest. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, the text says that he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He's our high priest. He went back to heaven to serve as our high priest, to intercede for us, to bring us into the presence of God, to enable us to have fellowship with God. That's what he's doing right now in heaven, serving his God, his Father, and us. So what we're saying initially is that just to be a Christian, just to say, I'm striving to be Christ-like. I want to be one of those many sons that God brings to glory, that's in the image of his only begotten Son that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8. I want to be one of those. That's what it is to be a Christian, in the image of Christ. Well, that's to be a servant. Well, that's what Christ is. And he is. And so we're given responsibilities on the servant. Responsibilities that involve us being servants, serving God. And it's really a training ground for us. This concept is taught in a number of passages, and if you're not careful, you might miss it being taught if you don't look at the passages carefully. I'm going to examine a couple of them with you just quickly that you're familiar with, but how much time we've spent thinking about this particular aspect of these particular accounts, I'm not sure. But go with me to Matthew chapter 25, and we know the parable of the talents. The kingdom of heaven is like this, Jesus says. It's like a man traveling to a far country, in verse 14. He called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. He who had received the 5 talents, traded with them, made 5 more talents. Likewise, the one who received 2 gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The Lord is coming back, and he's going to settle accounts with us. He's left stuff for us to take care of in his name. He's left his things with us that we might show a profit to his glory. But he's coming back to give it for us to give an account of our stewardship and what we've done with what he's given us, our responsibility. He received the 5 talents, came and brought the 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, if this represents anything, it represents the judgment day, doesn't it? The accountant. The Lord's come back now. What have you done with what I gave you? And the Lord says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Surely that's a representation of going to heaven. And the stuff that you did here on earth in service to God is but a few things compared to the things that you'll do in service to God there. If that means anything, that's the parallel. He says the same thing to the 2-talent man, in essence. If you look in verse 23, the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. There's a certain implication here that there's going to be something for the servants to do, something even more than they've done in this life, in the realm to come. They're being prepared for greater service. And what they do in this life is sort of a testing ground, what they'll be able to handle in the life to come. Same principle is found in what we call the parable of the minus in Luke chapter 19. It's a little different story, but has some similarities to the parable of the talents. Jesus speaks it because there were some there that thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. He says in Luke 19 and verse 12, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive himself a kingdom in return. He called 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 minas and said to them, do business till I come. In other words, stay busy with this, occupy yourselves with this, taking care of this until I come back. His citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. So it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know how much every man gained by trading. They came the first saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Therefore, you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. Same thing to the second. You were faithful over five, you know, have authority over 5 cities, he says in verse 19. And it's basically the same story. The Lord returns. The servants who did well will be given more to be in charge of, to take care of, to serve him with in the future. And so I just believe that these passages are indicating, along with what we saw in Revelation 22 and what we're going to see in a couple more passages in a minute, all of this indicates, doesn't it, that this life is like a dressing room for eternity. We're preparing ourselves in a number of ways in this life. God is helping prepare us to be in eternity with Him. And the first aspect of that preparation is holiness. And connected with that is Christ-likeness, striving to be like Christ. The third aspect, really, that we're talking about today is servanthood. Because to be with God eternally is to be His servant eternally. Now, that always brings up at this point, if you follow the logic and the study of these scriptures, and you're thinking with me, you may have this question in mind, well, what are we going to be doing? What kind of service will we be engaged in? I don't know. God doesn't say. He says what we read. He says we'll be His servants. He says He's going to give us more than we got now to take care of for Him and to serve Him with. But it doesn't say what it is. Frankly, it hardly matters. Because our thing is going to be serving Him acceptably throughout all eternity, glorifying Him in that service. Whatever it is, whatever He wants us to do. And that just brings us to this very simple, solid point that we will serve God in eternity. No matter what it is He gives us to do, that's what we'll be doing. We will be with Christ as servants. In John chapter 12 and verse 26, again, we read some of these passages sometimes, but some of the details may escape us. In John 12 and verse 26, Jesus says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Let that sink in for a minute. You're following Jesus as a servant, and then where I am, there my... Isn't that talking about Him going to be with His Father? And then where I am, there my... What will be also? My servant. He'll be there as a servant. My servant will be also. And He says, if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So we're in the presence of the Father in the last half of that verse. We're still servants, and we're being honored by the Father. So that brings us back, sort of in a circular way, to what we read in Revelation 22. His servants shall serve Him. John sees that. He sees that in the vision that he was shown. Throne of God. And we look at those servants around the throne, we perceive that heaven itself is filled with a sense of purpose, a blessedness, a belonging, eternal exaltation, but also eternally glorifying God by serving Him. God's servants will serve Him. We'll be occupied with giving Him adoring homage in ways that we probably couldn't understand if God told us, but that will no doubt be satisfying to us. One of the thoughts in thinking about all this over the last few years especially is, in my mind, is that picture that you have there in Revelation and the implications that we have in these other passages present to us heaven in such a way that's much different from what most people have in their heads about how heaven's going to be. I've literally had conversations with people, some of them Christians, who I think in their mind, they're just wondering how heaven, how it's going to keep from being boring. You know, you're going to be up there and you're going to be, yeah, sure, you're going to be around the throne of God and there'll be singing and all that sort of stuff. Are we going to get tired of that after a while? Is that going to be boring? Well, no, I hardly think so. But I think these passages are indicating even more than that, that we'll be actively involved in doing things that bring further glory to the God who saved us eternally. And it's that activity that's part of what will give heaven meaning, besides being in the presence of God. It's that activity that we'll be doing on His behalf. And so all of that sort of brings me to the point that I wanted to make, or three points really. Every sermon has to have three main points, so here you go. As we're fitted for service above, we must cultivate the attributes of servants. And there are three things that servants do if they're good servants. The first thing is that they're faithful. If we're preparing ourselves to go to heaven, we do that by faithfulness, because that's what servants do. A servant, a good servant, can be counted on to do whatever it is his master would have him to do. To take care of whatever it is his master gives him to take care of. In Matthew 24, verse 45, Jesus says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all his goods." You see in this exactly what we've been talking about. The Lord has left us to take care of some of his things. Take care of his household, if you will. And he says, when I come back, if you're doing a good job with that, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of money. And you'll be blessed. I'm going to make you ruler over all my goods. You'll be blessed in doing that. And a similar message is found in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. Again, where the Lord said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." Parable of the talents. Servants are faithful. So here's the question we have to ask ourselves. God has given us so much, so many spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessing in Christ, so many physical blessings, so many wonderful things, associations, relationships, jobs, health, to whatever degree we have those things. So many things, all of which are to be used to His honor and glory. The words that we speak, the actions that we make and take. Are we being faithful? Sometimes when we talk about faithfulness, it's almost like the only thing that matters is whether or not you come to worship assembly, whether or not you come to church. If you do, you're faithful. If you don't, you're not. That's just not even the tip of the iceberg of what faithfulness is. Faithfulness is everything. Doing with everything that you have very thing that God gave it to you. Taking care of it, using it for the reasons that God wants. Secondly, to be fitted for service above, we must be like servants in obedience and respect for authority. A good servant respects authority. A good servant never would say, oh, those commandments. Ah, you don't need to keep those. You know, that's crazy. You don't need to keep those commandments. Don't worry about that commandment keeping stuff. A good servant would never say that. Matthew 8 and verse 9, the centurion in talking to Jesus said, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. My servant, do this, and he does it. Servants do what they're told to do. The man who Jesus said had the greatest faith that he ever encountered. He said, Jesus said about this man, I've not found such great faith. No, not in Israel. The man who said he had that Jesus said had the greatest faith he ever saw was a man who understood that a servant does what he's told. That a servant respects the commands of his master. And if we go through this life, we've got the commands of our Lord right here, and we just act like, well, you know, I like that one, so I'll do that one. Well, I don't like that one, so yeah, I'm skipping over that. If that's our attitude, we're not good servants. We're not preparing ourselves for what will be in heaven, which is servants. Good servants obey. They're told do this, and they do it. They don't question, they don't argue, they just do. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, do all things without murmuring and questioning. One translation says complaining. Just do what we've been told to do. And thirdly, probably connected to the first two, good servants trust in the master. Back in the Psalms, in Psalm 34 in verse 22, the Lord redeems the souls of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Servant trusts the Lord. Servant trusts. And so if the Lord says something's a certain way, we trust that. We may not understand it, but we trust. We trust our master. Matthew 10, verse 24, Jesus said, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Please understand this. No servant is above his master. You're not above the Lord in any way. We are not. None of us are. We have to live a life in this world understanding that. Because God needs us to understand that in eternity. We must fully trust in things even that we haven't seen, the invisible things which God has told us about, promises. They're invisible and we haven't seen them. That's what faith is all about. Jesus goes on to say, it is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, a servant that he be like his master. Be like Christ. That's what a servant is strive to do. To trust his master in every respect. So just sort of to wind this up and come to the conclusion that I hope you see. This life is certainly preparation for eternity. God has, through his grace, given us a means that we can be holy and be like him and be with him. But also, this life is preparation for service. And the service that we do, we're preparing to do greater service. And preparing to make heaven all the more meaningful. If we're not faithful, if we're not obedient, we don't trust, ready for heaven. Just not ready. So here's what we're called to be. And as we sang, led by His Spirit to fountains of love, now soon shall be fitted for service of love. I'm going to sing a song of invitation. A song that invites us to serve Him. And to prepare yourself for heaven, I encourage you to make that commitment. Follow Jesus as His servant, ultimately to be where He is, with Him, where His servants will be. If you're ready to make that commitment this morning, to name His name, we ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.